time of the Tudors. That's in a couple of minutes. BBC Radio 3, it's 1 o'clock. The news now read by Katrina Young.
Downing Street says the government is looking at options for legal action against Spain over the imposition of additional border checks at the crossing into Gibraltar. The Spanish government has confirmed that it may seek Argentina's help in raising the issue of Gibraltar's sovereignty at the United Nations. A Downing Street spokesman called Spain's action in a dispute about fishing rights disproportionate and politically motivated. Customers of the UK's biggest water company are facing an extra payment of £29 on top of their bills. Thames Water says the money's needed because of the impact of bad debts and to cover the cost of improving the sewage system, including a big project in London. The company has 14 million customers across southern England. The Shadow Immigration Minister Chris Bryant has made a speech attacking an over-reliance on cheap labour from elsewhere in the EU. He's been embroiled in a row with Tesco and Next after leaked extracts from the speech suggested some companies favoured recruiting foreign workers, a claim denied by both firms. The mother of Neil Heywood, the British businessman murdered in China by the wife of a disgraced politician, has spoken about the case for the first time. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal, Anne Heywood said she'd been compelled to break her silence because the Chinese authorities haven't responded to her requests for compensation. She said her son's family had been left with no financial security since his murder in 2011. The government in New Zealand has commissioned an independent inquiry into the recall of products made by one of the country's biggest exporters. Earlier this month, the dairy firm Fonterra said baby milk formula may have been contaminated with bacteria that can cause the potentially fatal illness botulism. A strong performance in Asia has helped boost the profits of the insurance firm Prudential. They were up by 22% to £1.4 billion in the first half of the year. And the weather forecast, a mixture of sunshine and showers across the UK. It'll stay mainly dry in the south, but showers will persist in northern England and Scotland. And that's the BBC News and Weather.
And it was read by Katrina Young. It's 2.5 minutes past one and time now for Proms Chamber Music, live from Cadogan Hall in London. It's presented by Petrop Trelawney.
A warm welcome back to our weekly BBC Proms Chamber Music series. Today, a programme of vocal works from three generations of British composers. Gustav Holst, who boasted Latvian, German and Irish blood, was born in 1874 in that most English of towns, Cheltenham Spa. His daughter Imogen, Edwardian by birth, a pianist who became a composer, assisted Benjamin Britten and was artistic director of the Aldborough Festival. And one of today's most distinctive and distinguished musical voices, the Lancashire-born composer Sir Harrison Birtwistle, the UK premiere of a work that takes him back to a childhood fascination with moths, the Moth Requiem. More about that later. Well, members of the BBC Singers, who give this lunchtime prom, are gathered on stage here at Cadogan Hall, shortly to be joined by conductor Nicholas Cock. Imogen Holst's Hello My Fancy, Whither Wilt Thou Go, in about 20 minutes' time. That'll be performed in between motets from the 15th century Eton choir book. First, Holst the father. Though he set much Christian music, he was also fascinated by Hinduism and Sanskrit literature. He set four groups of choral hymns from the Rig Veda, the most important of Hindu scriptures, and taught himself Sanskrit in order that he might translate them into English. We're going to hear the third set, four pieces for female chorus and harp. Though filled with very distinctive Eastern musical sounds, there's also something very English about these pieces. Hymn to the Dawn, Hymn to the Waters, Hymn to Vena, the Hindu king, and finally Hymn of the Travellers. Like the journey makers of the title, the music gradually disappears at the work's conclusion. So to join harpist Lucy Wakeford and women's voices of the BBC Singers in set three of Holst's choral hymns from the Rig Veda, please welcome conductor Nicholas Cock.
Thank you.
Nicholas Koch conducted the women's voices of the BBC singers in the third set of Gustav Holst's choral hymns from the Rig Veda. The harpist was Lucy Wakeford. You're listening to our fifth BBC Proms chamber music concert, live on Radio 3 from the Cadogan Hall in London. Imogen Holst next, who spent much of her life championing and researching her father's music. She was also Benjamin Britten's amanuensis, committing many of his musical ideas to paper, and she was active in the practical side of life at Aldeburgh, organising the festival. Those activities left her with little time to compose herself, but there are a handful of pieces by her, and we're going to hear a late work next, written in 1972 and showing her great skills at word setting. "Hello, my fancy, whither wilt thou go?" A setting of the 17th century Scottish poet William Cleland. Before and after it, music from a much earlier British choral tradition, two motets from the 15th century collection known as the Eton Choir Book. Now, Nicholas Koch, we're hearing music from the 15th century, and then later on in this programme, music from, well, today, the 21st century.
That's
it illustrates
right.
the versatility of the BBC singers, doesn't
it? Yes, it really does. It's an extraordinary programme, this, because we're just about to perform two pieces from the Eton Choir Book, and this is a collection of Latin liturgical music from the late 15th century that I think I'm right in saying was compiled in a collection of manuscripts at Eton College between 1500 and 1505. And it's one of the three, I think there are three collections, the Keys Collection and the Lambeth Collection and the Eton Choir Book that survived the Reformation, because of course most of the material that was written at those times, it was Latin music, and most of it had to be sung in praise, or was to be sung in praise of the Virgin Mary, not very popular in the Reformation. So of course most of it was destroyed, but we luckily have some of the pieces remaining.
And wonderful to hear these words and these beautiful text settings in a programme that also includes Harrison Birtwistle's brand new work.
Well, strange to relate, perhaps, but there are great similarities between the Moth Requiem and the Eton Choir Book music, because they're both very, very demanding in terms of rhythmic awareness, rhythmic, they're rhythmic in style, and they need to be really rather precise. But I mean, I have to say, as you said earlier on in the interview, that it's an extraordinary testament to this group of singers that they can be presented with a programme that spans this kind of time. What are we talking? We're talking 1480 to 2013. There are not many people who have to do that within lunchtime.
550 years in 60 minutes on Radio 3. Nicholas, thank you very much indeed. Lamb's Stella Chailey, Walter Lamb, the Virgin Mary as a star of heaven, that after Imogen Holst, and before it, William Cornish's Ave Maria, Mater Dei, Hail Mary, Mother of God. These three works all getting their first Proms performance this lunchtime. Ladies and gentlemen, the BBC singers and Nicholas Cock. Nicholas Cock conducting the BBC Singers here at Cadogan Hall in two Eton Choir Book motets in praise of the Virgin Mary, Walter Lamb's Stella Caeli and William Cornish's Ave Maria, Mater Dei. Between them, Imogen Holst's Hello My Fancy, Whither Wilt Thou Go? And there'll be more Imogen Holst here next week when we hear her fantasy quartet played by the London Concord Ensemble. Well, once again, we are filming our Proms Chamber Concert today. It'll be available to view from 12 noon tomorrow at bbc.co.uk/proms and follow the links to watch and listen. To conclude our concert today, a new work by one of the great figures of contemporary British music, The Moth Requiem. Please welcome to the stage its composer, Sir Harrison Birtwistle. Moths get rather a bad press, generally.
Yes, they get a bad press because they eat your cashmere. In fact, there are more than 1,000 moths available in England, and only two of them eat your cashmere. In a sense, they become the victims. Yeah, but apart from that information, I, as a young man, became very interested in natural history, and became interested in. Did I say mystery or history?
History. You said history.
I said history, because I was thinking of mystery because I was also interested in mystery, in the sense that moths, nobody knows them, and they become more beautiful as you. Become familiar with them, and it's been a thing in my life was an unfulfilled interest because I never had the time to do it, and so the piece is called a Requiem, in that I chose the moths which were extinct, and. My piece is really about the disappearance of things. And soon I'll be going.
I hope not for some time yet.
No, well, and a lot of people seem to be going in my life, yeah. And the poem that's in the middle of them, I set them in Latin, the Latin text. The poem by Robin Blazer wrote a text for me for The Last Supper. And he died last year. And you won't hear the poem. I assure you, they sing all the words. And so that the idea of the moth becomes, for me, the emblem of things which are disappearing in nature and everything around us. But I didn't want to write a piece that was morbid. I mean, I find these things that are disappearing, which has a sort of anger for me, and so I've expressed, in some ways, some idea about anger within the piece. It's not all anger, but there are things I could have written a soppy sort of general sugary thing.
That wouldn't entirely be you.
Well, I can do that as well.
Let me just ask you about the trio of harps. Are they sort of representing the sort of flapping sound of the...
No, they don't. No, they represent music. To come back to Robin's poem, he said there was a noise somewhere in his house which he couldn't identify, and then his cleaning lady, after he heard it every evening, and they found that what it was a moth that was trapped in the piano, and in the evening it activated itself and made the piano vibrate. And which is a nice, mysterious idea. Yeah.
Thank you for a wonderful introduction. We should hear the piece.
I could give you another 10 minutes on the piece if you've got the time. Thank you anyway.
Harrison Birtwistle. The trio of harps are played by Lucy Wakeford, Helen Tunstall and Hugh Webb. The flautist is Philippa Davis, all of them members of the Nash Ensemble. To conduct them and the female voices of the BBC singers in the UK premiere of Harrison Birtwistle's The Moth Requiem. Welcome back for the last time, please, Nicholas Cock.
Thank you. Thank you.
The UK premiere of The Moth Requiem by Sir Harrison Birtwistle, performed in this live BBC Proms lunchtime chamber concert here at Cadogan Hall. Birtwistle bowing from his seat on the left-hand side of the stage. Nicholas Cock conducting the BBC Singers. Members of the Nash Ensemble, harpists Lucy Wakeford, Helen Tunstall and Hugh Webb, and flautist Philippa Davis. He says a requiem of things gone, as well as that very personal tribute to the much maligned moth. Harrison Birtwistle on stage now, bowing with Nicholas Cock. Work co-commissioned by the BBC, Danish National Vocal Ensemble and the Netherlands Chamber Choir, and receiving its UK premiere today. Well, don't forget you can watch today's concert. It'll be available from 12 midday tomorrow at bbc.co.uk/proms. Follow the links to watch and listen. Next week, Poulenc's Sextet and Imogen Holst's Fantasy Quartet, performed by the London Concord Ensemble, and the tenor Robin Trichler sings Warlock's The Curlew. For now, though, from Cadogan Hall, good afternoon to you.
Petrock Trelawney there at London's Cadogan Hall. Well, the rest of this week's Radio 3 lunchtime concerts are all from LSO St Luke's in London a few years ago. String quartets from their Beethoven Plus series. All of the concerts featuring a Beethoven quartet alongside one by either Haydn or Bartok. Tomorrow it's a case of teacher and pupil from around the same time. Haydn's last string quartet and one of Beethoven's first. The players are the Karol Szymanowski Quartet from Poland. And that's here on Radio 3 just after the 1 o'clock news tomorrow. Meanwhile, at the proms tonight,
it's about sharing the music that we both love and putting them together.
There really has never been a gig like this, I think, because there'll be fans of both sorts of music, from classical music to some of the artists we play on Six Music, and I think we're all in for a surprise. I'm Steve Lamack.
And I'm Tom Service.
We may come from different ends of the radio dial, but Radio 3 and Radio 6 Music share a common passion, music.
Join us live on both stations for the 6 Music Prom. We'll have live music from the Stranglers, Laura Marling and Kerris Matthews, all performing with the London Sinfonietta.
6 Music and Radio 3 present the 6 Music Prom.
Tonight on BBC Radio 3 at 10:15.
You're listening to Afternoon on 3 here on BBC Radio 3. It's 9 minutes past 2. And for the next hour and a half, a chance to hear last Friday night's prom. Maris Janssens conducting the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra in Mahler's Second Symphony, the Resurrection Symphony. They were joined by the soloists soprano Genia Kühmeier and mezzo-soprano Gerhild Romberger, and the combined forces of the Bavarian Radio Symphony Chorus and the West German Radio Choir. The concert's presented by Christopher Cook.
Mahler worked long and hard on his Second Symphony. The massive funeral march that begins the work was written in the summer of 1888. Then three shorter movements, a bucolic interlude, followed by settings of two poems from Mahler's favourite collection of verse, Des Knaben Wunderhorn, in which St. Anthony preaches to the fishes. Antony's failure, though, to reform the fishes is followed by a second poem, Urlicht Primal Light. However, it would be 6 years after he'd begun this symphony before Mahler felt ready to tackle the choral finale. The opening movement was originally christened Totenfire, Funeral Rites, and eager for a second opinion, Mahler played it through on the piano to the great German conductor Hans von Bülow. It was not a happy audition. The venerable conductor simply covered his ears with his hands and groaned. Tonight's conductor, Maris Janssens, takes a rather different view of the symphony.
I think why Mahler is so popular and beloved, because in his music is everything, you know. He's such wide range of atmosphere, questions, philosophical, thoughts, grotesque, love, death, tragic, you know, dramatic, you know, and humor. Everything in this music, and every listener can find something which is close to his feelings and has some kind of inner bridge to his music. Because this is, yeah, how Mahler said, I want to embrace all world.
The fourth movement is Urlicht, Primal Light. And I wonder whether you feel, as you're conducting this, that something really changes as the mezzo-soprano begins that extraordinary song.
Yeah, of course, you immediately to change to the atmosphere, which is, I would say, for me, very spiritual.
Tonight's conductor, Marius Janssens. Ironically, it was Hans von Bülow, who had so disliked the first movement of the Second Symphony, who, very indirectly, provided the work with its final movement. Mahler attended the venerable conductor's funeral in Hamburg, and the choir sang the poet Klopstock's chorale, "Rise again, yea, you shall rise again, my dust, after a brief rest to immortal life." "It was as if I'd been struck by lightning," Mahler said later. "Everything suddenly seemed crystal clear." By the end of July that year, 1894, the fifth and final movement of the Resurrection Symphony was completed. Literally, the end of the world with the last trumpet and the promise of resurrection and eternal life. Well, the Bavarian Radio Symphony Chorus and the WDR Radio Choir will be coming on stage in the pause that generally follows the first movement. Mahler himself insisted this pause should be as long as 5 minutes. There are very few conductors nowadays keep us waiting between the funeral march and the remainder of the symphony for that long. But it does give an opportunity, and as Janssens feels, for the choir to come on, and we can take stock, perhaps, of where we've got to by that stage. Tonight's soloists are the soprano, Genia Kuhlmeier, and Gerhild Romberger, mezzo-soprano. And here now is Marius Janssens to conduct Mahler's Second Symphony, The Resurrection, with the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra, led tonight by Radoslav Schütz.